This morning, I'd like for us to look at another chapter in the life of David. And this morning, we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 26. We're going to look this morning at the life of David. I believe that there are lessons here for each of us to learn about how to have a heroic faith. And certainly, David is one of the great heroes of the faith. I think perhaps the greatest personage in the Old Testament. He is the one who was the ancestor of Jesus Christ. The name David is mentioned more than any other character in the Bible. And what can we learn about his exploits of faith? Lessons in that syllabus of heroic faith. Well, first of all, there's the lesson of a victim seen. Now, we described how David had come upon Saul in the camp. David being the outlaw, questionable who was actually the outlaw. When Saul was actually acting contrary to God's directions in his life, he had disobeyed God to the point where God decided that he wasn't going to let him be king anymore. But in the meantime, he was still the acknowledged king of Israel. And David respected him. And not only respected him, but he loved him. But still there was this victim scene. I suppose David, if he had wanted to, he could have thought, well, this is my opportunity that God has provided for me to take vengeance on my enemy. So he saw Saul and the forces of Israel encamped around him with Abner right next to him. Abner, this mighty general of the army. And yet they were sleeping. Stealthily, David and Abishai crept down to the camp and took the spear and the jug of water and escaped. But there was a victim scene. This victim was an enemy. A dictionary defines an enemy as one who feels hatred toward, intends injury to, or opposes the interests of another, a foe. Now, certainly Saul met those requirements. And I'm sure you can think of enemies in your life. But I think we all are in that camp where we must face a foe. The Bible speaks of it in Ephesians chapter 6 when it says that the foes arrayed against us are not flesh and blood, but represent the principalities and powers of the spirit realm. In other words, the devil and his angels. So we have this army that we must deal with. Not flesh and blood, though. I think that's very important because David could have hated Saul. He could have looked at this as his opportunity to kill Saul, but he did not. And it reminds me of what Jesus said when he said that we are to love our enemies and pray for those who despitefully use us. Now that's, I think, the real test of a heroic faith. When we come to that place where we can say to the Lord, I realize that this enemy that I think I have is not the real enemy. The real enemy is the one the Bible describes as Satan, who is our adversary. And he has many angels, evil angels, at his command. And that's the real foe that we face. So here we see a love for the enemy in David. But there was an entrance in this victim scene. Doesn't it say here that God put Saul and Abner and his troops into a deep sleep? In verse 12 it says that. And there it says that Saul was lying asleep inside the camp. And Abishai said to David, "Why today God has given your enemy into your hands." So he provided an entrance. And then I wondered why God did this. I think maybe to test what was in David's heart. Whether David, who said, "Wait upon the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You remember those words? Well, whether David was really willing to wait upon the Lord, or whether he would take things into his own hands in a willful sort of way, accomplish God's will in his way, and that is David's way. Don't we want to do that sometimes? Kind of speed God up in doing what we think he ought to do, you know, maybe have done already by yesterday. But David would not do that. So we can learn from the enemy, the entrance, the entitlement. We are in the age of entitlements, of individual rights, power to the people. All of these expressions, I think, speak of that age of entitlement that we are in. Well, David certainly was entitled to take advantage of the opportunity God gave. Well, we would say so. I think David would strongly disagree with that, because he recognized that that this was God's work. There's a verse in the Psalms, I'm not sure David wrote it, but I think it was David who said, "Promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and sets up another." So there's this lesson of a victim scene. Does it maybe bring someone to your mind that maybe you have looked at as the enemy? Maybe someone like Saul. Someone that God has put over you, maybe to test what is in your heart. Whether you are willing to submit and surrender your life to God and to let God do His work in His way, rather than, you know, to try to speed things along in your own way, I think, as we are prone to do. So there's this lesson, I believe, of a victim seen. But there's also the lesson of a vengeance shunned. Now, certainly, scenes of other daring exploits may come into our minds as we think about David and Abishai as they went down into the camp. Saul was there with his select troops. I mean, we might think of some exploits of our military, for example. I love to study about the Second World War. I don't know. I suppose not because I remember it. Maybe because I grew up with those who remembered it. I was born in 1947 after the Second World War, but I greatly admire those who fought in that war and how there was sometimes hatred of the enemy. There were many rules of war that were changed in that war, as I think in any war that we fought. One of the definitions of war is that the rules are thrown out. That's really what describes a war. Vengeance. I think we all understand what vengeance is. Taking our wrath out on those who we feel have unjustly treated us. And certainly David and Abishai and all of his men with him would have thought that this was something maybe that they wanted to do. I'm sure David sometimes struggled with that. How to get even with Saul. How, you know, God, why did you allow this to come into my life? I think, again, it gets back to that fact that God is molding in us that heart for Him, that heroic faith, that we might not rely upon our own devices, but that we might wait upon God to do what God wants to do. So there's the opportunity, again, that David had to shun that vengeance. I mean, there he was, right? Standing over Saul. There was that spear. Saul, he could have killed Saul with his own spear. I mean, who would have blamed David for doing that? I don't even think Abner and the armies of Israel encamped around Saul would have blamed David for killing Saul. They knew how Saul had become demented in his mind, how he was really hell-bent on killing David for really no good reason. But David did not do that. He shunned the vengeance opportunity. He had options. He could, I say surrender. I don't know that surrender is an option in this situation, but certainly there was that thought that might have come into David's mind. You know, what would happen if Saul suddenly awakes, Abner awakes? I mean, we're trapped. There's no way to get out. He could have killed Saul. And then thirdly, he could have taken a souvenir as an evidence of his visit to the camp, which is the third option that he took. I think that was the option that God led him to. He was going to give it back. He was just borrowing it. But otherwise, Saul and his army wouldn't have known that David was even in the camp. So a wisdom that God gave him that really was the option to vengeance that David took. So he chose option three. Some would say David opted out or copped out even, that he did something that was, I mean, I don't know how you could describe that as cowardly. But certainly some would say he missed the golden opportunity of his life. But again, I believe it gets back to, are we willing to let God be in charge, or are we going to take charge and do kind of help God along in those things that we feel he ought to be more in a hurry about as we are? But thirdly, there's a victim seen here. There's a vengeance shunned. There's a victory secured. And in that victory, there's a conflict calmed. I mean, doesn't the Bible say that we are to seek peace and pursue it? I think war should be the last option, but sometimes tragically it is necessary because of the evil world that we live in, because of evil people who will seize possession of other persons' properties and lands, and certainly many murderous nations have arisen that need to be stood up against. And it's not wrong to do that. We must do that. We must be vigilant. We must first seek peace if we can. Certainly with our neighbors, with our friends and family. And David did that. And I know David is known as a great man of war, but think of all of those that became a part of his army. They were Hittites, they were Philistines, Moabites, Ammonites. I mean, people from all of the surrounding nations became a part of what God was doing there in Israel. I think this was really maybe the beginning of that reaching out to the nations that God intended that nation of Israel to do. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. We are to be peacemakers, as David was. And so here there was a conflict calmed. Notice Saul's remorse in verse 21. This wasn't the first time that Saul expressed remorse over his war against David, so we can be a little bit suspicious about his motive. And I'm sure in the back of David's mind he was thinking, well, I've heard that before. But still, he did the right thing. There was a conflict calmed. There was a conscience clear. Even more important to that is the fact that David cleared his own conscience. And if your conscience will not accuse you, then you can lay your head on the pillow, or in David's case, on the rock at night, and be able to sleep with a clear conscience, knowing that you have done the right thing. And there was a confidence claim. Saul spoke prophetically to David when he said in verse 25, may you be blessed, my son David. You will do great things and surely triumph. I just want to encourage us to look to the Scriptures, to find these lessons that God has for us here, to lift our faith to that heroic level, because we also can be like David. We can also have his heroic faith, if we will do as David did, if we will see that victim not as a victim, but as someone that we can show compassion toward, that we can pray for, as Jesus said, pray for your enemies, love your enemies, pray for those who despitefully use you, and then shun vengeance at all costs. I think not at all costs, because there is the time when I think certainly justice needs to be done. But again, David's example here, I think, is for our learning. And then a victory secured. God will give us the victory if we will trust in these patterns of heroic faith.